And we're live.
All right.
Hey.
Yay.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Hey.
How you doing?
Hi.
I'm pretty good. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing all right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah? What's new in your neck of the woods?
Not all that much, honestly.
Yep. About the same.
I read an article headline today that Berkeley is going to require vaccinations to go to, like, movie theaters and the gym and stuff, and that's great. Love to see that. Feeling safe.
Meanwhile, here, it's best left unsaid.
Just do whatever you want.
Pretty much.
Yep. Yep. I booked an impromptu road trip to go to Oregon for the long weekend. You know, just making my way up to PAX West, you know, like a responsible person. Yeah. no, we're going to Portland and we're taking a detour and we're stopping in Bend to go to the last Blockbuster.
Nice.
Nice.
Yeah. I'm pretty excited. And I pose the question to you. You guys went to the last Blockbuster. What would you pick up some merch? What would you buy there as like a souvenir of the last Blockbuster?
I feel like it'd be weird that you can't rent a movie there, but like I guess it's because you have no way to return it.
Yeah, I mean I'm not gonna rent a movie. That's absurd.
Yeah.
I mean
I don't know. I'm some hoping... Blockbusters used to sell movies and games, so if they see if they had a movie or game I wanted to pick up.
Yeah, I'm probably gonna pick up like a Blu-ray. There's probably something I want. I'm hoping there's a shirt that just has Blockbuster, just the logo on it. I would love that. I think that would be awesome. What about you, Paul? What would you pick up from a Blockbuster if you even cared?
I don't.
No.
Okay. It would be a cool trip. I wouldn't buy anything.
Part of me, like, I want to just to be like, yeah, I went to the last Blockbuster. And the other thing is I kind of want to just help support it a little bit. You know, maybe you can stay open for one more day if I buy a shirt or something. I don't know. I don't want it to go away. So,
yeah.
Legitimately, I've been curious, like how well they are doing.
Did you watch the documentary that came out last year?
No.
Yeah. So there's one on Netflix called The Last Blockbuster. You should check it out. It seems like they're doing fine. But it's always like every time they have to like renew like the store's license or whatever, it's just this big question of like, is corporate going to do it? And like, the, you know, they every kind of 4 years, they don't really know what to expect.
Right.
But yeah, if people haven't seen it, check out that documentary. It's kind of interesting for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm going to go there. Going to take a, you know, selfie out front. Hey, I'm here. Look at this thing. This is crazy. Yep. And what I do love, and I saw this in the documentary, is like it looks like identical to how I remember it, and I think that's just going to be trippy walking into like an almost like literal time machine of like I was standing in one of these like 10 years ago.
I mean, you were working in one of them 10 years ago.
I mean, I worked for maybe like 2 weekends. I think I did a total of like 2 shifts before I quit. But yes, technically,
you still worked at one. So
technically, I was an employee of Blockbuster for a very brief period of time. I wish I had kept that shirt because that was a nice, like just like a dark blue, just the logo Blockbuster on it. But I gave it back when I quit. But that would have been cool to keep. I doubt it would have fit me anymore anyway, though. It was kind of small. People are asking, what's the last video you'll rent physical form from Blockbuster? I feel like I've already done that. Do you guys remember the last movie you probably rented from a Blockbuster?
No.
No, because my roommates worked at Blockbuster, so they just brought movies home. Like, I didn't need to ever go in. Legit, don't remember.
Well, do you remember the last one they brought home?
Nope. I remember I watched some Bruce Lee movie, but that might have been when my girlfriend worked at a different movie rental store. Legit.
Is that like Rogers Video?
Yeah, Rogers Video.
Okay. trying to think. Mine, it would have had to have been when I was living at my parents' place. Oh, yeah, I have no idea what that would have been. Absolutely no idea.
God, I just had a flashback of memories. I remember why the Rogers video of my girlfriend worked out shut down is because people drove a truck into it to rob it.
Oh.
Yo, please tell us more about this story.
That's pretty much it. Like, they drove a truck into the building. They robbed it. We lived somewhat nearby, so we went down to go see it. It was wrecked, like game copies everywhere.
So she wasn't working at the time?
No, like the store was closed. It was like midnight, 1 a.m. Okay. It was like late.
Sure.
So we went down, just the place was wrecked. Cops were there. Manager was there. Just like the whole game section was destroyed because that's where they drove the truck through. It was just a mess.
What'd they do? Did they like break into the cash register or did they just take
I think,
copies
well, since it was
movies?
Rogers Video, they also had phones. So I think they went and tried to steal the phones.
Okay, sure. Mm. Okay, that makes sense. Because like I'm thinking like when we were at EB Games, like every night we would deposit like almost all the money into like the bank. So like there wasn't a ton of money in store to rob.
Yeah. I think Rogers kind of worked the same way.
I would have assumed so. So it's like, what is there to steal? A bunch of like Blu-rays inside of like not official cases?
I think they were either also in the same block or in a close block to a bank that they deposited at too. So like it super made no sense. It was just the phones they were going for.
Right. Yeah. Maybe they were going to like dig a hole through the wall in the Rogers into the bank vault. And it was this whole scheme.
The truck made it much faster, way easier to do, obviously.
Yeah, when I worked at Blockbuster, that's when I learned that the like magnetic alarm systems that are near exits typically are usually always not working. And my manager explained it to me, and it's like, yeah, those things aren't turned on. Because if it goes off, all I can say to the person is, can you please open your jacket? And if they say no, there's nothing I can do. They can continue walking out of the store. Because what are you going to... You can't just grab the person and be like, open your jacket. You're not allowed to do that. So it's like, yeah, we didn't get them fixed because they don't do anything. They're not helpful. So they're kind of just basically like a scarecrow. You're hoping that they'll just like scare someone into not stealing.
Well, I explains like, anytime I go to Shoppers Drug Mart and the beeper goes off, they're just like, yeah, go on.
Yeah, exactly, right? Because like
you looked back, I know you're not a thief.
Yeah. But even if you are, like, what are they going to do? They're not going to chase you down. Also, like, as someone making probably minimum wage, you're stealing, you know, from a shopper is probably like cosmetics. They don't care.
Shoppers carries games.
Oh, yeah, that's true. They do carry games, don't they? I don't think I've ever bought a video game from a Shoppers.
I bought a couple. I bought a Switch there at least once.
Like a the console, a Switch?
Mm-hmm.
Right on. Paul, what's your best Shoppers Drug Mart purchase? Not including medication that you needed.
Right, that's pretty much the only reason I go to a Shoppers.
Mine was probably like some comic books. Bought like a Shonen Jump magazine there once. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, they used to carry
books. A magazine or something, yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay, well, I'll next week we'll come back and I'll tell you guys all about the last Blockbuster in the world.
Okay.
But for right now, this is the Top Down Perspective, where I'm Sean Booker.
I'm Paul Fleck.
I'm John Wheeling.
And John, why don't you give us our weekly Final Fantasy X update?
Well, it's the last one because I'm done.
Nice. Whoa. Okay.
I'm free. 61 hours total on my file.
Not bad. Little does he know, Final Fantasy X was not the last Final Fantasy.
You know what? I was wondering why. I thought the X meant they stopped right there. yeah, I ended up pushing for it. I needed to have it finished by Sunday for recordings, so got through it. Still had a bit of content I could have done. I never finished the Omega dungeon. I never got everyone's celestial weapons because some of them are absolute horseshit.
Yep.
I didn't do the arena fights because some of those are horseshit.
True.
But like the game itself is done. I enjoyed the game. Little hiccups here and there. Ending's a bit meh, but I enjoyed the ride.
Where does it rank on your like favorite Final Fantasies? Because I feel like typically it's a higher up one for people.
It's definitely a higher up one. Yeah. I really like the core gameplay. The fact that you could just switch on the fly with no penalty was actually really cool. A lot of stuff like that they did. The sphere grid was weird at first, but got used to it pretty fast. That was cool. But yeah, like I didn't like the mini games that much in the game. Blitzball was all right, but I didn't want to put all the time into it to actually get the rewards that you needed out of it. It just added so much extra time in the game. Yeah, I would say pretty high up. Definitely not my favorite, but I would say like probably top five.
Yeah.
Okay. Paul, where does it rank for you?
It's top three.
Wow. What's your guys' number ones then? I'm curious.
Six. Ooh.
I mean, right now I have to say 14 because it's never ending, essentially.
Okay. It actually as long is as they keep the final up the quality. Fantasy. It's the infinite fantasy.
Yeah, the infinite fantasy. Yeah.
I think my favorite at this point, I remember liking 3 quite a bit. I liked 4 as well. But I think I really enjoyed my time with a remake. So that I might just say remake. Yeah. But 10 is probably in a top 5 for me. Just because in like my life, that was a big one growing up.
Sure. Yeah.
All right. Cool. Well,
that's all I'm playing.
Yeah. Paul, I guess you want to give us a Final Fantasy update?
Yeah. I've been playing Heavensward and my first session with it, I sat here for almost 7 hours and didn't realize it. So I'm a little afraid to go back until I put some time in other games right now. Yeah, that expansion is very good so far. Nice. The setting is way better. The story is picking up in a crazy way, and it's just going to keep going. So, yeah, I'm really, really enjoying that thing. That's the problem. So I was reminded why I kind of have a problem with this game, though, when I had to rebuy my subscription time today. In fact, it's just like, oh, right, it's one of these. So I feel like I need to like get my, what is it, like 18 Canadian a month out of it or whatever. So I feel like I have to play. It's more than Game Pass.
Got you. That's the whole thing right there.
Yeah, exactly. And when I do play, I have a really good time with it. But there's also this weird feeling of like,
what am I doing with my life?
I need to play it. I need to play it because okay. I'm paying for it. Sure. Yeah.
It's guilting you is what you're saying.
It is a little bit guilting me. Yeah.
I mean, you did this to yourself.
Like a week ago, it was like, hey, you have 7 days left. Just giving you a heads up. I'm just like, oh, shit, the clock's on already. But yeah, it's fine. The other game I played that I want to talk about more is called Tormented Souls. It's a game that came out on August 27th. One that has been shown in a few like indie things here and there. It is just a love letter to classic survival horror games. If you played the old Silent Hill games, Resident Evil, Alone in the Dark, that you know exactly what to expect, and it's that in 2021, and I am absolutely in love with it. I really, really enjoy it quite a bit. Yeah, so it has a bunch of mechanics from the different stuff. Obviously, you have to worry about like your inventory and kind of, it's a giant mansion hospital type thing, like a giant escape room type thing, which is the kind of the Resident Evil thing. It has a lot of Silent Hill in it with how the camera angles work and just giving you an overall uneasy vibe just based on how like the cameras move with you or against you or kind of do like topsy turvy things in weird areas and obscure things just out of line of sight. And it also has the Alone in the Dark instant death in darkness mechanic, where if you are in pitch black for too long, you just die because something kills you or whatever. So there's a lot of points where you need to have a lighter out. But if you have a lighter out, you can't have a gun. So those areas you have to kind of run through and are like all spooky or whatever, but sometimes there's like a candelabra that you can light to kind of like stand in so you can take your gun out and kill stuff that's chasing you. It's cool. It's really well thought out, and how you move around that mansion hospital thing that you're in is extremely well thought out as well, with a bunch of different shortcuts leading to places you've already been before, so you don't have to backtrack a lot as you're making progress. And it has a whole bunch of little puzzles in it that are really good. That, yeah, that game is just absolutely fantastic. And for $20, anybody that likes those old style games should pick it up. It's just really good. Oh, there's a demo for it as well, so you can try that out and then see if you like it and then buy it. But yeah, I can't say enough good things about it. It is totally one of those games, if you like those games the way I do. And I can't wait to finish it off. It's been enjoyable. I'm about 7 hours in. I'm told it's about 12 hours worth of content, which is pretty good, I suppose. The speed run of it currently is at 1.5 hours, so it is very much one of those, when you know how to get around in that environment, you will play through it fast, but the first time is going to take a while. Yeah. Tormented Souls again. You should check that out. That's all I've been playing.
All right. My Final Fantasy update is this Game Boy Advance copy of Final Fantasy VI is still on my desk. my weekly Final Fantasy update.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Well, there you go. John's favorite. That's why I keep it so close to me at all times.
Sure.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, you know. I've been playing Psychonauts 2. Last week, I was only like two head areas in. Kind of right after that, you get to go outside the Psychonauts headquarters, and that game is real big. Like, it is just a real big platforming area you can run around in. And I think I'm nearing the end at this point, and this game is just extremely good. Like, I can't wait every time I get to a new stage to see, like, oh, what's this one all about? Oh, the theme is hair. Well, this place is definitely messed up. What's this one all about? Oh, it's instruments. This place looks super cool. Like, it is a treat for the eyes, and then it is so fun to just play through and see the wacky stuff they put together. I cannot recommend this game enough, and like, it just, the momentum it has, and just will just keep pulling you throughout the whole thing. It is a really great product. So again, I was saying this last week, good on Double Fine, but like, I am thoroughly enjoying Psychonauts 2. I'm like bummed that I'm even nearing the end. I would definitely have played more of this for sure. And in fact, I went and bought Rhombus of Ruin because it was $5. There's a big like PSVR sale this last week. So for $5, like, yeah, I'll go play through that again. So, or for the first time. Yeah. So
I was sad that I missed out on the physical for that, because it was only exclusive to Fig.
For which one?
Psychonauts 2.
Psychonauts 2. Okay. Well, I mean, it is on Game Pass, so you have a copy for free, quote unquote.
True. Yeah, but you know, I support the devs.
I'm sure that is supporting the devs.
And have a physical copy I can hang on to.
Okay. Yeah, that's true. Well, hey, maybe like limited run games will like make another one if it's, who knows? I don't know.
Yeah.
Other than that, I went and revisited some Borderlands 3 because I picked up the second season pass, which is weird. So the first season pass was 4 distinct expansions, like a whole new area with like a storyline, yada, yada. They did that 4 times. In the second one, it's not like that at all. So there's 4 pieces of it again. The first is a raid, which is actually really short. It's basically just a boss fight. The second one is another like kind of a narrative expansion, but it's not in a new area. It's in areas you've been to, but like a new sub areas within there. The third is the director's cut, which I think that's like the name of the season pass, which from what I understand is just a bunch of like behind the scenes stuff and like some developer commentary and some art. So that's just extremely not interesting. And I can only assume Claptrap is guiding you through that. So no, thank you. And I will say, for the Claptrap adverse out there, he does show up in that piece of narrative, like the actual kind of expansion part. So like, yeah, I'm as disappointed as you are. And then the last chunk of the season pass is just like some cosmetics, I believe. Anyway, it's kind of a bummer in terms of like wanting to play content. The first season pass is way better. That raid fight, again, is just a boss, and it's not even like there's no kind of puzzle aspect. There's no stages to it. It's just a Borderlands boss fight. So that was pretty lame. There is this new mode, and I don't know if it's tied to any of the season pass or if it was added on, but the one kind of interesting thing is this arms race mode that they put in Borderlands 3, which is essentially a battle royale, but just against bots that you can play co-op, obviously, because it's Borderlands. They literally drop you into like a huge map. They take away all of your abilities and guns, so you have to run around looting and fighting the various and computer enemies. And there'll be boss enemies you can come across. There's chests and there's drops that'll be protected by enemies and stuff. It kind of works surprisingly well. I actually haven't been able to beat it. And a circle is drawing in, and when the circle gets to like the final size, you have to go take on the big boss that is like sitting in the middle of the map. So I do plan to go back and see if I can beat that, because we tried twice and lost both times. But it's kind of interesting, and it definitely like, because I got to a point in Borderlands where all the loot I was finding was a lot worse than what I had. And even if some of the numbers were better, it's like, well, this shotgun I have has just, you know, a weird enough combination of abilities that it's like, even if the other thing does more damage, this thing's going to still end up doing better in the long run because it's checking more of the boxes for me. By taking all that stuff away, it's kind of like, oh, right, I'm actually looting stuff and getting new guns every time I finish a fight, which is a fun way to like reintroduce the mechanics that I had pretty much ignored for, I don't know, the last like three expansions to this thing. So, you know, that's pretty fun. And I really can't tell you for sure if everyone has access to Arms Race or not, but I think that's something worth checking out if you're looking for something Borderlands related. Cool. The last game I played, I've just been playing it today. Devolver is having a big sale on their mobile games, both iOS and Android. Pretty much all their games are like $1. So, public service announcement, I would go check out if you're interested in any Devolver games. You know, Gris is on there, Minute, Sword of Ditto. I picked up like three games that I had my eye on. I loaded up one today called Space Plan, which is a clicker with a narrative element to it. And it's actually pretty great. The music is pretty cool, but you're essentially a spaceship circling an unknown planet. And obviously you can click, or you can just let the number goes up by itself. But you're purchasing stuff using, I think you're generating watts every time you click. You're purchasing like solar panels. You're purchasing potatoes to generate power. Everything is power based. And then you spend the power to get more stuff. There's a large theme here surrounding potatoes. Everything you get is potato themed or named like a potato. For example, you eventually get the ability to send probes down to the planet, and you can, the next thing I'm going to purchase is the Tater Tower. And when you first start to like send probes to the planet, the potatoes burn up, so you have to wrap them in tinfoil, so that they'll be able to withstand the atmosphere of the planet. I don't know. It's pretty fun. They go to the, like the menu is called like the make things menu. And so it's pretty tongue in cheek, but it's pretty fun for a clicker, I found. And it has a really nice minimalist aesthetic that I'm really digging. I wish both my eyes worked really well so I could fully see the very tiny text they're using, but for a regular person, it should totally be fine. That's Space Plan. Right now it's on sale for $1. But again, I just, you know, PSA, check out the Devolver sale on mobile if you're looking for some new mobile games, because everything is $1 and Devolver puts out some really great stuff. And that's all I've been playing, so let's talk a little news. Not much happened this week, unsurprisingly, because Gamescom was last week, so they held everything for that. Sony did announce that this morning that they're going to have a big live stream next Thursday, which we'll definitely be talking about. And then kind of alongside that, they mentioned that Horizon Forbidden West is now available for pre-order. And the only kind of real news out of this is that the PS4 version does not have an upgrade to the PS5. You have to buy them separately. That's kind of the only news. I saw a lot of people kind of freaking out about that.
And it had to happen eventually.
I guess for Sony, Microsoft still is doing the $60 pricing and you get the best version no matter what. And I will just say, as someone who's kind of using both consoles, every time I'm trying to take advantage of these upgrades, every single game does it differently. It is so confusing. Sometimes it's tied to a piece of DLC. Sometimes it's not. Like, I think like the Death Stranding one wasn't, but Final Fantasy VII, you had to buy Integrate, and then there's the Director's Cut for Ghost of Tsushima. They all do it in like different ways. It's so confusing. And then Microsoft is over here just being like, hey, you buy the game once, you get the best version. And they're like currently working on making that version playable on Xbox Ones. Like, it's crazy to see the difference between these two platforms at the moment. This next one, just kind of another short one, that we finally got some gameplay. In fact, a gameplay trailer came out for Midnight Suns, that new Marvel game that was announced last week at Gamescom. This is the one by Firaxis, the tactics Marvel game. Turns out it's a card battling tactics game, which, as someone who likes card games, that's good for me. I saw a lot of people pretty turned off when they learned it's card based.
Yep. I don't care about that thing anymore at all.
I'm looking through it.
That's interesting, Paul. I know you're like a Slay the Spire fan. Like, you do like card games.
No, not anymore. I don't. I'm sick of that shit. I'm sick of every game aping that style. So, no.
Okay, well, I mean, this, to separate it from Slay the Spire, it's not a typical deck-building game. There is still a tactics element. It actually reminds me a lot of, like, Metal Gear Acid, where it's like, this card to do an attack. There is, like, a distance that you have, so you have to kind of line up things. So there is a tactics and a spacing element to it. Your abilities are, you have a deck of cards you are dealing with, so.
Yeah, it looks kind of uninteresting to me. I'll wait for a little bit more gameplay, because it's very little gameplay they still showed in that. So I'd like to see, like, rundown of a stage.
I'm with Paul on this. I need to see a full stage playthrough, or at least more than just a small section of combat.
Yeah, a lot of cutscenes in that. And I mean, it's your favorite heroes doing their thing. So, like, yeah, that's fine. Sure.
Yeah, again, that comes out March 22nd, 2022. So I'm sure we'll see more of this. This was sent in our Discord, so I'm just including it. Windows 11 is coming out October 5th.
Ugh.
Right.
Ugh. I guess,
which means I'll check it out next year when the problems are fixed. When the bugs are gone,
yeah.
does your PCs handle it? Have you done the little like tool to see if you're even like available to use it?
I haven't even checked.
No, I did. My processor is too old.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Which sucks. Like, I have an i7, but I don't have like a fourth gen i7. I think I have like a second gen. And I think fourth gen i7 is like the cutoff or something for. I don't know if that's for everything or if that's just for i7s or whatever, but they said mine's too old. So it's like, okay, well. Oh, well. I don't know. Yeah. The one thing I'm interested is, I'm curious because they keep talking about like remodeling like their app store and how their like game integrations work. So I'm curious about that side of things, but they haven't really shown or talked much about that. So there's not a lot of news on that front.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see that too, because their store right now is fucking terrible. One of the worst on the market. So
I like their app, like the Xbox app. Is that the one you're talking
Xbox,
about?
No, I'm talking about the Microsoft store.
Yeah, okay, the Microsoft store is pretty bad.
I don't think I really use that one. Anytime terrible. I'm playing a Microsoft game, it's like I use the Xbox app and play my Game Pass Ultimate games.
Sure, you have to upgrade, or you have to update that through the Windows Store, though.
Okay, yeah, I don't know. I guess
so. That might be the like one time you ever use it, probably, is doing that.
All right, and last news story. I saw this making some headlines at the beginning of the week. China has a new gaming regulation that imposes on minors under 18. They are only allowed 3 hours of gaming a week and none on weekdays.
Curious your guys' thoughts. This has been updated to 1 hour, actually.
It got cut down, did it?
Yeah.
Oh, and this is also, I believe, online games specifically.
Yeah, and like you said, minors. So, like, people over the age, I think, of 18. I'm guessing 18, it's 18 is their cutoff. Yeah, are free from it as well. I guess it's to combat game addiction, which they think is an epidemic. The real reason is for control over its people, because it's China. But, you know, that's neither here nor there.
I guess the previous policy was 13.5 hours per week. Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I can say personally, if I had this limit growing up, I'd be a very different person.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, true.
That would have sucked. I'm not seeing the article. At least this article was not updated to mention the 1 hour. So I'm just saying, I'm going to have to check your word on that.
Hold on. I found an article here. I'm just reading through it. Latest rules from the NPPA significantly reduce the amount of time minors can play online. Oh, sorry. Under 2019, people under 18 were allowed 1.5 hours on most days. So I guess it went up to 3 hours.
Oh.
Really? Because I was seeing they had 13.5. Let me, you're in the same article?
No, I'm in CNBC.
Okay, yeah, this article is also mentioning, let's see. The most recent ruling introduced in 2019 stated minors could only play online games between 8 a.m. and 10 p.m. for 1.5 hours on regular days and 3 hours on holidays.
Oh, yeah, okay, that's what it is then. During the week, you can only do it for about an hour, and on the weekend, you can have three or something like that, but I think they changed that to only three per week.
And I don't think you can do any on the weekdays anymore.
Exactly. That's what it is.
And you are right. Online gaming per week. Because I guess they wouldn't be able to regulate it if it was like a Switch offline. If it's like not connected to the internet.
I mean, there's still going to be ways to get around that with console games. Like you said, just playing offline.
Right. Yeah. Playing on your older brother's account. Like, I don't know. There's ways to circumvent it, but for the most part, I think this will cut down on.
Well, I have to assume it's like IP address. So even if you like swapped profiles, that just wouldn't work. That's my guess. Otherwise, maybe. That's too easy. Like, oh, yeah, this is my 6 to 7 o'clock account. And then once that gets blocked, then I jump over to my 7 to 8 o'clock account. And yeah, I don't know. That's pretty crazy. I definitely played a ton of games growing up, and I still do. Not that it matters anymore. But yeah, I would have absolutely hated that.
National Press and Publication Administration told the state-run news agency that game playing would only be allowed between 8 and 9, 1 hour. It used to be 1.5 hours during the week, 3 hours on the weekends and holidays. Now it's literally just 1 hour. And it's in that time limit. Weird.
Sucks to be a kid in China.
I mean, for a lot of reasons. Yeah.
But most importantly, because they can only play video games for 3 hours a week. Totally. On the weekend.
Totally.
All right, let's do some questions. We got a bunch this week. topdownperspective@gmail.com is the email address. @TDPpodcast on Twitter, the Discord channel, or John's P.O. Box are all great ways to send questions in. I can read this first one from Matthew that says, "Hey TDP, try to pitch a game you love without saying what it is and only talking about the things you don't like about it."
Okay.
I say you got it. We'll try and guess. So each one of us try to pitch it to the other two and see if they can guess it.
Okay. Let me pick a game, I guess, then quick here.
You have to memorize enemy places because they're put in unfair situations. The checkpointing at the end of the game is kind of bad. And it's
I want to say this is somewhat recent because I feel like you were mentioning checkpoint bad checkpoints recently.
Am I right with that? Checkpointing thing for me is Cyber Shadow. Right away, that's the checkpointing problem I think of. That's recent, but I don't think that's what he's talking about because of the end thing.
Well, also it says games you love.
And games you love. Yeah, true.
Is it not a recent game?
No.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so maybe I was thinking of Cyber Shadow.
You're on the right path.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess Ninja Gaiden, right?
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
that's Ninja what Gaiden. Cyber Shadow.
I was going to say, like, hate. Birds try to kill you, but I'm like, no, that's too obvious.
Yeah, that one is pretty obvious for sure. Oh my god. Okay.
Do you have one, Paul?
No, not quite.
I'm trying to think of a game I love that I don't typically like bring up all the time on here.
That's exactly what I'm trying to do too. That's why it's kind of difficult. Because your mind like immediately went to like what's bad about Professor Layton or Phoenix Wright, right?
First one went to like Burnout Paradise or Asura's Wrath, and I'm like, I talk about those all the time. And now then my mind was like, okay, let's do like Breath of the Wild, but now I can't think of anything that I like dislike about it. Like there was no point
in
Breath
of the
Wild.
Your brain's
like,
blocked that part out.
Like I'm trying to think, I can't think of anything. Like what was I complaining about for Breath of the Wild, or what was I complaining about for like Mario Galaxy? And it's like
rain.
Nothing's coming to mind.
I like how this was super easy for me, but you two are just like struggling with this.
I don't got a good one. Anything for you, Paul?
Yeah, I don't have anything good, but that besides like the obvious and the obvious things that you would just guess.
I mean, let me try one.
Here, let me try one.
Yeah, go.
I don't love. Yeah, see, this is going to be too obvious. I don't love that when you have to play through it the second time, it's pretty much the first playthrough again.
Yeah, okay. I know exactly what it is.
Okay, I'll do a different game. I don't love when the kids are in the robots, they're naked.
I mean, I know what that is.
I assume that's 13 Sentinels.
I want to say Sentinels. The first one was nearer. Automata.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
That's really funny.
All right, Paul, you say one or you read the next question.
Well, I mean, I'm going to read the next question anyway.
All right.
Yeah, I'll just read the next question. Boca writes, what type of games do you think were possible in the past but are harder to market slash sell now that physical as a format is being used less and less? Example, how you would use CDs and Monster Rancher to create monsters.
I mean, with the Monster Rancher one, like, if the console still had a disc drive, you could still do it.
Mm-hmm.
But the remakes are coming to Switch, aren't they? You wouldn't be able to do it for that.
Yeah, so the remakes apparently have, like, a CD library you can just load pick and choose from.
Okay. I don't know. What games need a physical version to function?
I guess you could say Game Boy games, like those kind of games. Assuming you just didn't emulate them, like old style games. But
wait, why do they need to be physical to
that's what I'm talking, because the question was specifically about physical.
That's what I'm saying, is like you can play a Game Boy game, like a ROM of it, and it's fine. The only thing that comes
I'm not saying not counting ROMs, like they're hard.
Like Boktai, because you need the solar thing?
Yeah, stuff like that. Things that have tilt control is going to be hard to emulate.
Well, I was going to say, the tilt control ones, I'm like, most things have a gyro sensor in them. I feel like you could still like put it on phones, put it on the Switch.
Now you can, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm, yeah.
What games need something physical?
I think Boktai was a good example. Rock Band, Guitar Hero.
That's a really good example, because like we're pretty much never going to get more Rock Band stuff, because everyone proved with Rock Band 4 that they do not want to rebuy all their equipment again.
I legit forgot Rock Band 4 existed.
So. I play that game monthly. So. Remember in Rock Band 3 when they came out with the keyboard?
Yeah, I have the keyboard. I never took it out of the box.
Yeah, I have the keyboard too. I brought it to college with me, but it's back at my parents' place. I don't know, like VR games, but those are kind of picking up pace slowly. I don't know. I guess another one that comes to mind is like Hotel Dusk, because there's just something kind of unique about holding the DS like a book. I guess a lot of DS games in general, any game that kind of used the folding screen,
the folding screen.
You kind of lose that part. I don't know. It's pretty rare. I think digital games are the future.
Yeah.
From Dead and Sky. Most of you have a favorite console, but does anyone have a least favorite console? The game.com. The Tiger Electronics game.com.
That version of RE2 is spectacularly broken.
Yep, sure is.
Do you have one of these?
10 gauge.
No, I don't actually. I've been trying to find one, but I can never find one in good condition.
Okay, what's your least favorite that you own?
That I own?
Because I feel like it's pretty easy to just say like one that like didn't even like sell well and died immediately.
True.
Well, I mean, I can say Atari Jaguar. I mean, he owns those.
Yeah.
Okay, sure, yeah, there you go. What about you, Paul?
That I own...
Mine, probably. I don't know, my Game Gear?
Oh,
low key, the Game Gear is kind of cool. It's just the system itself is a battery drain.
Yeah, like I didn't use my Game Gear a whole lot. I guess it did have a nice screen for the time, but yeah, that battery thing was ridiculous.
Yeah, now that another I have a way to play them on my TV, it's just like, yep, never going back to that system ever again.
Yeah. Out of the ones I own, it's probably the 360, because why would I buy consoles I don't like? Like, that seems stupid.
The 360 is your least favorite console, really?
Out of all the ones I have? Yeah, probably. I only bought it to play a couple games with friends. I don't particularly like it.
See, that was like my main console during that thing, so like I have very fond memories of my 360.
Yeah, same here. That was my main system that era.
Piece of trash, that system. No, I'm kidding. I just don't buy systems I don't like, because like I saw Ouya in chat is like, oh, I almost jumped on that, but thank God I didn't, because that was garbage. So
yeah, I mean, it's easy to say that Atari that came out like last month, but
wait, that came out?
Yeah, you can go buy them. I listened to Giant Bomb forgot. Talk about it. Jeff went out into Best Buy and bought one of those.
I forgot about those. That thing, holy shit.
And isn't the new Intellivision still on its way coming?
I guess so.
Yeah, that's still coming out.
Damn.
Wow, they did. They came out. Holy shit. I didn't think the VCS was ever going to come out.
Right, that's what it was. I forgot. You got to get one.
I'll look into it, but I'm sure it's absolute trash, because if no one's talking about it, it sucks.
From what I understand, it's pretty trash, and like the subreddit is full of people just being like, is it gonna ever be good? Like, I keep trying to go on customer service and asking why it's not working right.
That sounds like a subreddit, yeah. Is it ever going to be good?
Second part of the question. As a kid, did you ever impersonate one of your parents? whether it was a forged signature, a lie about whether or not you had permission to do something when confronted by a third party, or claiming you were the parental guardian on a website that required parental supervision. Probably did that.
I definitely didn't do that, because why wouldn't you just lie about your age? Like, why are you being honest?
Oh, they're usually like, the same thing. Like, you're either like 13 or you have like your parent legal guardian's permission.
Okay. Yeah, I guess. Yeah. Because it's like, I feel like if you just said you're over 18, that you didn't even have to say anything about having a parent.
I wouldn't say I've ever impersonated one of my parents, but I've totally lied and said, yeah, I can do this.
I feel like every kid's probably done that at least once, too.
Yeah, probably that one. I haven't impersonated my parent or like forged their signature. I did for a while when the 1 year I took band, they wanted us to practice our instrument at home, and I did not want to do that. And we had a sheet we had to fill out and say, like, how many hours on this day did you practice? And your parents, like, had to sign it. And I would just, like, put a number down there and then ask my dad to sign it. And he was like, you know, I don't really mind, but, like, it's not really great that you keep asking me to lie for you. And the crazy part about this, I wasn't even putting the, like, a right amount of practice hours down. I was still making it look like I wasn't practicing enough. So, like, what was my plan? Like, I was lying to make it look like I was half-assing it, as opposed to just zero-assing it. Like, why didn't I at least put the correct number down? I don't know what I was thinking.
Sure, yeah.
The Phantom Aegis writes, what is a game you want to see as an esport? It must not be one that already was. My answer is Pikmin 3 Bingo Battle.
Mario Party. I just want to see the fist fights that come from that.
Yeah. I feel like we get this question every now and then, and I never have an answer for it.
I think some like racing games, but you have to do it backwards, would be pretty fun.
Okay.
I also used to do this thing when I played Smash Bros. Melee, where we turned off all the items except for Mr. Saturn. We played one of the F-Zero stages where it was like on the track, and the whole goal was you have to try and keep the Mr. Saturns alive. So you had to like pick them up and throw them back into the middle of the stage. That would be pretty fun to see some professionals do.
Professional hide and seek.
Yeah, that's kind of just Among Us, right? Like professional Among Us or something.
That's professional lying, so.
I bet there is professional hide and seek. Like, I bet that's an actual thing. Because there's like professional tag. I bet there's professional hide and seek, and they like set up extravagant, like almost like escape room style arenas. I would not be surprised.
I was going to say, wasn't there like some movie based off of a real life game of tag or hide and seek or something like that?
You might be thinking called Tag. There is a movie called Tag. Yes, that's about tag. There was also a documentary that came out a few years ago about underground tickling fights.
No, definitely wasn't that.
That is a thing, though.
Never heard of that.
That's a thing. You can watch that movie. So like if tickling is a sport, I have to assume there's a hide and seek.
A like professional brick breaker or Arkanoid head to head, I think would be real fun to watch.
What is that? Like, oh, like
I guess a race,
game, right? Not like a physical version of it.
Oh, now I want the physical version.
how does the physical version work? Was it ping pong?
It's just like, yeah, it's like ping pong or racquetball, but you have like a yoga ball and you hit it with a baseball bat.
Okay. Oh, so it's like that mini game from one of those like Kinect games.
Yeah. Like, you've got a bunch of, like, cardboard boxes you can knock over, and you have this yoga ball you have to just, like, knock into walls. You can get, like, little items and power-ups that the attendees throw at you and stuff like that.
Sure. You know, going back to the hide-and-seek one, isn't that just, like, Dog the Bounty Hunter?
What? Yeah.
I guess.
Most things are, though.
Kind of what that is.
Yeah. All right. Question from Hebrew Lantern. Is a Pop-Tart a calzone? No, it's not. Next question.
Yeah, I don't.
A calzone is an Italian turnover filled with usually pizza toppings or a folded pizza. That's literally the definition of it. So no, a Pop-Tart is not one.
Yeah, wouldn't the calzone, like, the equivalent then have to be like only sauce is inside it? And then all the toppings are on top? Because that's how...
You could put sauce and cheese in a calzone. And if you're ridiculous, call it a Pop-Tart.
Don't they just have, like, the goo inside them? And then all, like, the, like... This one's birthday cake flavor and all the, like, sprinkles are on top.
Yeah.
Generally. Whereas the calzone, everything is inside. It's not just you bite it and there's pizza sauce inside.
Yeah, no.
The only way I could see saying yes to this is if you actually considered, like, you know, dessert pizzas.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Those aren't pizzas in any way other than they're also a circle.
Sure.
That's the only way I could see you saying a Pop-Tart is like a dessert calzone.
Sure. It would be more like if you took a pie and then, like, folded it or something. That would be more of a Pop-Tart. Calzone sort of thing. A Pop-Tart isn't a calzone.
I don't think it is. John, where do you land?
I don't think it's a calzone.
Yeah.
Next up from Sukusuku. If you had but 1 hour a day to play video games, would you play something familiar or always something new? How long can you live like that? Well, I had to do that. That was called my childhood. So I played, if I was able to, I'd play something new, but when I couldn't afford to, it was something familiar. Nowadays, like, if I had to do that,
You had like an hour long restriction.
Oh yeah. I was only allowed 1 hour of gaming a day.
Oh man.
That was,
did you grow up in China?
No, I knew you were going to do that. No, I got, there was like, my parents were concerned I was playing too many games, and I had a Tetris effect thing where I kept hearing the sounds of one of the games I was playing at the time. So they're like, yeah, you're only allowed to play like a half hour, an hour a day. I think it was a half hour at first, and then they upped it to an hour or something like that.
Because of, like, good
behavior. But that lasted for a couple years.
How did they find out about your Tetris effect? Were you going around being like, did you guys hear that?
I legitimately, yeah, like, like, did you hear, I did a, did you hear that? Like, what was that weird sound? You're like, I don't hear anything. It was one of those.
A ghost.
I ratted myself out, basically.
Oh, man, rookie's mistake.
I was like 7.
You got to keep it bottled inside and then tell your therapist about it when you're like a teenager.
Super healthy. Super healthy.
I don't know. I feel, because like, some games, it's like, is it even worth playing an RPG at this point?
Well, that doing, was it one a week or one a day for like a 100-hour RPG? That would suck.
Yeah,
that was kind of what I did with Final Fantasy X. Was just like, okay, if I get an hour a day, like I'll get it done in time for when it's needed.
Sure. Yeah. But I mean, even now though, you still have the option of going and playing some other stuff if you wanted to. But just that's your only game for, you know, the next 2 months.
I would pick shorter games if I only could play 1 hour a day.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I think I'd still be playing new stuff, but that's just kind of me. I wouldn't just stick to like the one game I play.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I might kind of do something like, if I'm trying to do some like multiplayer stuff with friends, be like, hey, can we make like Thursdays the multiplayer game? Because I can only play very limited windows, and I want to like schedule this out. I don't know. Maybe I'm just spitballing there.
Second part of the question, what is your comfort game? Lacrosse.
Yeah.
It's Apex. Lacrosse.
Third question, what song comes to mind when I say Peaches? Peaches by the President of the United States of America.
Yeah, that's the one.
Which one is that? Is that the Millions of Peaches one?
Yeah, yep. That's the one.
I hate that
Moving
song.
Moving to the country, gonna eat a lot of peaches.
I hate that song. One.
Peaches come from a can.
Yep.
They were okay. Put there by a man.
For some reason, that was on just so much in grade four. I hate it. If I ever hear that song again, it's too soon.
It's because in the music video, they fought ninjas for some reason. So
I didn't even know that. My teacher just had like a Napster account always logged in on the like one computer we had. And he would just put music on from his Napster account while we were like doing assignments. And that one, for whatever reason, came up a lot.
Weird.
VGC Kenny writes, how good at a game should you be to complete it?
As good as you need to be to complete it, I guess.
This is a weird question. Like, I don't think there's a limit.
The game devs expect you to be good to a point to actually get through it, but like you don't have to be like a master like strategist unless the game requires it. Like some RPG specifically wants you to do like a specific build so you can get through like a hard boss or like gear yourself a certain way, and that requires some either forethought or looking it up.
But then like what if you set the game on easy?
Well, then you need to be good enough to play through it on easy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are we
doing complete as in get to end of game? Then yeah. And then it's just as good as the game demands of you, and depending on whatever difficulty you set it on.
I'm wondering if there's like an actual meaning to what he means here. Because that seems like too obvious the answer. There must be like more to the question, right? It's like, how good at a game should you be? I mean, as good as it needs you to be.
Yeah, really. Like, I just... There's not, like, a number I can point you to. And it's like, well, as long as you're 55, you're good. There you go.
You're 55 good on the good level.
Good enough to complete it. There you go. And that's the same for every game. Like, that's my answer, 55.
Okay, yeah, that's a good answer. Rinku writes in, what's a game mechanic that even if hinted at makes you groan and fills you with dread?
Stealth. Unless the game is entirely around that.
Even then, yeah. Okay, that's a good one, actually.
Okay. Yeah, I think I'm kind of the same.
If I'm going to Splinter Cell and not expecting stealth, I'd be like, what am I doing? But yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a non-stealth game putting a stealth thing in there. But the only way I'm okay with that is if they make it like really easy because they know that people don't like it. And it's more just kind of like narratively, we need you to be stealthy here, so don't go into the really easy spotlight. Kind of like Nick Wind Waker has that like real short stealth section in like the first area. I guess the second area.
I saw it in chat, but I'm going to agree. Escort missions. I don't think there's a single one that I've liked in a game. There's ones that have been like, I've been okay with and been like, okay, that wasn't so bad, but I would prefer it doesn't exist ever.
I think at this point, gacha, I just don't have the energy for it.
Well, gacha doesn't really have the energy. It just needs your money.
Right. But I just don't want to deal with, like, I know what the loop is and I know I'm not going to want to be spending tons of money. So I don't want to deal with the grind.
Okay. I got you. Yeah.
And then there's the whole thing of like, well, I need to like start looking at what like the best characters are. And am I even playing a character worthwhile and stuff? So that part's just, I just don't have the energy to deal with all that.
Sure.
Linebeck writes in and says, conversely, what is a game mechanic that almost always gets you interested in a game?
Double jumping makes every game feel better.
I was just thinking, if it has a double jump, that's probably going to make me happy. Speaking of which, Psychonauts 2, you got a double jump.
Ooh, okay.
You start with a double jump.
I had one.
Yep.
I was probably going to say like flight or like flying battles usually.
Okay.
Like dog fights are usually like.
Like in a plane?
Yeah. In a plane or like even if you're like a flying character.
Okay. I really like inventory management and like having to make decisions.
Okay. That feels controversial.
I really like
this. Resident Evil, though.
It really does. And like every game like that. I like making the decision of what to take and what not to take and how that can affect my gameplay. And then getting to the point where eventually I can get good enough where I don't have to take anything that I don't need to just get through a thing.
So there's another mechanic I don't like, encumbrance.
Oh,
okay. Encumbrance is a little different for me too, but I've kind of stopped doing the Skyrim pick everything up thing anyway, so it doesn't bother me as much as it used to.
I have the same reaction with like stamina systems. So,
game mechanic I hate. I hate weapon degradation in every single game.
Breath of the Wild. Just pick the separate mechanics of Breath of the Wild, and we all kind of have one we hate.
Sure. I mean, I hate it in every game. Dark Souls, any hack and slash that does it, MMOs. I just hate it.
Is it me? I think so, yes. Rasterman 7. Yeah. What do you think is the most difficult game mechanic to explain to someone who doesn't play video games?
Double jumping. No, I don't know. I'm just kidding. That's an easy one.
I don't know if this one's hard to explain, but I feel like it's one of like the biggest hurdles for getting someone to play video games is using both analog sticks at the same time.
Yeah, true.
That's fair, yeah.
Because I know like my girlfriend really struggles with that, and where for a lot of time they'll like never touch the camera, or if they touch the camera, they're definitely not moving.
And it's too much movement or some totally. In that regard, also QuickTime events are usually hell as well because you don't have the muscle memory of where buttons are.
Sure, I think that's another easy one to explain. When you see that button, you need to press that button.
Yeah.
One that comes to mind, and this is, and the analog sticks made me think about this, is racing games, because I feel like a lot of people who don't play much racing games think that when you're turning, you're like turning like hard every time, whereas most of the time it's just you're like feathering the analog stick one direction or the other. Like you're hardly ever doing a hard turn unless it's like a U-turn or something.
Yeah. And like when to drift in games that have that and stuff like That's a good one.
But actually, I'll see a lot of people like, usually it's like Mario Kart, because I'll get a lot of less, you know, a lot more casual players playing Mario Kart, as I'll see them like kind of swerving along because they're just oversteering. And it's like, no, you should just be feathering it. And then, yeah, drifting, it's like a new person like will never drift for the most part.
I've found it particularly hard, and maybe it's just me, to explain to people that don't play P-Cross a lot, like why I know certain squares aren't squares that like have anything in it or ones to hit or ones to X out. Like some of them are obvious when it's like a 5x5 and the number is 5. But when you're getting to like the 10s and 15s by 10 and 15 or whatever, like I've tried before to explain how I know that it's like these two are like X'd out always right from the beginning. I don't know. It's just one of those things that you play those games a lot. You just have like a sense for that's really hard to explain why.
Yeah, Sudoku really has stuff like that too.
Sudoku has stuff like that too. Yeah.
Any come to mind?
Puzzle
for you,
games
John?
In general.
Weaknesses. Explaining weaknesses in RPGs. Like, okay, if you like this person's weak to physical, but this person's weak to this element. This person's weak to this element.
Yeah, unless it's like super obvious, like fire and ice or something. It's like,
brings Pokemon to mind too. Like, oh, there's like 15 different types. Like, oh, what is this one weak to?
Weak to?
Yeah, is psychic weak to fight? Why is fight weak to psychic and stuff like that?
Yeah, true. I agree. That's me, Decoy Troy. Right, where the hell am I? Okay. In the fight to preserve games from becoming unplayable, how often could a game reasonably be re-released for current platforms? to hit that sweet spot of finding new audience that don't have a way of playing the original or last version without becoming Skyrim and just always and forever being released.
I feel like if it's got like a Steam version, it's probably going to be okay.
Yeah, like El Shaddai just came out on Steam yesterday.
Yeah.
And I'm stoked about that because that's a game nobody played in 2011. So.
Well, because it had a small release because it was like ITV published it.
Like, yeah.
Ignition, I think, is their full name.
I picked that up a long time ago as a digital copy because it was like
$4.
Yeah. Yeah.
On the 360. I don't quite understand this. How often could a game reasonably be re-released for current platforms? So that means it's coming out twice on the same platform?
No. Like, it comes out on the next-gen platform.
The current platform as it comes out.
Yeah. I think that's the spot. If it's a new platform, that's fine.
Sure, okay.
Yeah, but like, what about in a situation... Let's say Final Fantasy VII Remake, for example. Like, it came out 1 year before the PS5 did. Maybe it was less, I don't remember. And then it got re-released on there as well. Like, is that too soon? Should it have waited?
No, because I feel like with those, lots of games are doing that. And the positive there is these look and play so much better now. So I'm for that.
I just wonder if we're ever going to get to a point where like practically every game gets re-released on a next gen. So you buy like a new system and then it's like, okay, here comes all the games from last gen. And I don't mean like Xbox carryover compatibility like we currently have. I mean like straight up like here's
Wii
the
Switch.
Yeah.
Basically. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're just upset with Nintendo reselling it to you every time?
I mean, I think it depends on the value. I think Nintendo gets away with way more than they should.
Yeah, because like
they definitely do.
The nice thing with Microsoft is all these games, I don't need to purchase them again. I just have it.
Yeah, Sony, I like the fact that I can put an original Xbox disc in my Xbox One, and if it works, it will work.
Yeah, Sony's kind of hit or miss with that. Sometimes they let you do the transfer, sometimes they don't. Nintendo will continue to sell you a copy of Mario World for too much money every generation, and I don't think that's okay. But I still think them coming out on the new platform is good because there's always every platform is going to be some kid's first platform, right?
Yeah.
And it's just harder and harder to get the older stuff.
No, yeah. I definitely think carrying over is a good idea. I think everything should be playable to a degree.
Yeah, I guess the only time it gets annoying is when that new version, like the price is high again, which I know it makes sense. They had to put development time in, and we see this like on the Switch when it's been super discounted. But you know, that's just, it's not for me. So there's no way I'm going to pay for it twice for the most part.
Sure. Second question. Since Steam doesn't require ESRB rating for its games, do you think there will ever be another adult-only rated game released? For the record, the last time a game was officially rated by the ESRB as adult-only was 2015.
What game was that?
Yeah, I'm even surprised to hear there was one that recent, because I would have said no.
Yeah.
What was it, John?
I think it was actually Hatred.
It's Hatred.
No, it's not.
Oh, was there one after?
That's the second last one. There's one after.
Oh, okay.
Well, they're all the same year, so it might just be alphabetically sorted. But there's Eden Plus, there's Hatred, and there's Seduce Me.
I don't think I know what Seduce Me or Eden are.
Japanese visual novel for Eden.
Okay. And Seduce Me is the same by the looks of it. There's a Steam page for it here.
Yeah, strong sexual content, nudity, strong language, use of drugs.
I guess my question is, why would you even go to the ESRB if Steam does not require the rating for its games?
Because you want to release it on other platforms.
Yeah, that's entirely why you do ESRB consoles.
It's the only reason.
Yeah, and I feel like at that point, though, does the platform holder even going to accept you?
No.
It's very unlikely, probably.
Like these ones you just mentioned that were officially rated by the ESRB, are those on a console?
No.
I don't actually know if Hatred is. I know
the closest one that was on a console was San Andreas, and that was just because of the stupid hot coffee thing.
Right.
Yeah.
So my assumption is they did this hoping to get on the consoles, and then the consoles were like, no, we don't want an adult only game on this.
Hatred's on the Switch? That can't be right. Hold on. That cannot be right.
It's not listed on their wiki page.
It is not. Yeah. Google gave me a lie, but I needed to know.
Yeah, you might be thinking of Ruiner, Sonny. It's got a similar aesthetic.
No, if you Google Hatred, you know how like Google has the random shit it pulls from sites on the side as like a quick look at it? If you go to platforms, it says Nintendo Switch, but I didn't think that was true. I think that's false.
I feel like it just doesn't really make much business sense other than you're trying to generate headlines. And I'm assuming getting the ESRB to rate you probably costs some money anyways. So you're just throwing away money, I would assume.
Yeah. Looking it up, it says the only physically mass produced AO game was San Andreas. The only other game that was going to a console that got an AO ranking was Thrill Kill, and that game never came out. So yeah, AO does not touch Thrill Kill. Basically. Is it me? I think it is.
Yes.
Mr. Generic Name says, what is the game you've put the most hours into?
World of Warcraft.
At this point, Picross.
Yeah, but if you had to say just one specific one, would it still be Picross?
If we're saying just a specific game and like counting the Picross game, the S games as separate games.
Yeah.
I think it actually turns out to be something from like Payday 2, maybe.
Oh, yeah. I could see
at this
that.
Point, it's probably Apex Legends for me.
351 hours on Payday 2. That's. I think I probably played more of Brawl. I'm just trying to think of what I play on my Switch that would be that long, and I don't think I can think of anything. So yeah, it probably is either Payday 2 or Smash Brothers. Yeah, Smash Ultimate, 160 hours or more. So Brawl definitely passed that, because I feel like I've barely played Ultimate.
And last question, Alita1234 says, you are given the chance to eat one food item from any video game you want. Just one, though. What would it be? Example, butterscotch cinnamon pie from Undertale, Rage candy bars from Pokemon.
Mushroom from Super Mario. Anyone. I don't care which one.
Like a poison mushroom?
I was going to say, you might want to pick a little bit when it probably has poison mushrooms.
Any one of them.
Mushroom from Super Mario is pretty good, yeah.
I was going to say Ambrosia from Hades.
Ooh.
Oh, that one looks pretty good. Yeah, that'd be nice too. Mine, you know, the Pokemon made me think just like a rare candy.
Yeah.
Level up.
Yeah, I'm just like curious what that tastes like. Or maybe just like a Pokemon food. Or...
Yeah.
A Magikarp.
You just want to eat a Magikarp?
They eat it in the anime.
Oh, that's a good point.
And I was thinking like, you know, a pizza from TMNT, even though it's like garbage pizza, but also pizza is just really good.
It always looks so good, too.
That's going to do it for questions. If you have a question for next week, you can send it to topdownrespective@gmail.com. At TDP Podcast on Twitter, the Discord channel, or John's P.O. Box. What's your game of the week?
I guess Final Fantasy X.
Tormented Souls.
And mine's going to be Psychonauts 2. In terms of some stuff to keep an eye out for, Paul and I did a spoiler cast with a friend of mine guesting on 12 Minutes. So if you have any interest in that game, or you don't care if you get spoiled, you can go check that out. It should have shown up on all the regular feeds, and it's on the YouTube channel. And if you haven't heard, the next TDP Plus game is Super Mario Brothers. Yes, that one. So stay tuned for that by the end of the month. Other than that, we will see you guys next week. Bye.
See ya. Everybody.